Anya felt sorry for Doug. He was entirely out of his element. She didn't know if he'd even been mugged before, much less taken by force at gunpoint, and he definitely wasn't the confrontational type. Anya stood out in front of the building. The winter wind swept through the heart of Manhattan and pulled at her coat.
Couldn't we talk now? I mean, it couldn't hurt, right? If you play this right, you can get more money than just robbing us. I don't know about Anya, but all you're going to get out of me is plastic. I never carry cash.
They're not going to rob us.
Kidnapping's not very smart. You can get the death penalty or life imprisonment for that.
Not if you don't leave any witnesses. And especially if you don't leave a body in enough pieces to be identified.
Okay, this is not a happy thought. Do we have to stand out in the cold? Oh! Ow! Anya, are you sure this isn't some kind of trick to convince me to get you the money you need to go to Venice? Because if it is, it's not working!
Anya kept looking out into the street where cabs glided through the falling snow. She didn't know whether to hope for a police officer or not. Having Doug in the middle of everything hampered her. If she fought free, she was certain Dieter would kill Doug as an object lesson, or simply out of spite. For now, Dieter's attention seemed to be focused on her. The pistol bulged in his pocket.
You're planning on going to Venice, Miss Creed? Mr. Morel, was Miss Creed trying to make arrangements through you to get to Venice? Mr. Morel, if you attempt to lie to me, I'm going to kill you right here.
Yep, she was all over me about wanting to go to Venice. Couldn't say enough about it. Wheedled, pressured, guilted me. I sat down at the table and she started in about Venice.
Shut up.
Okay.
Why are you going to Venice, Miss Creed?
Oh, I got this one. She was going to investigate ghosts.
Ghosts?
Yeah. See, they don't have any vampire stories or serial killer legends in Venice, and we don't make stuff up. Okay, well, maybe we enhance things a little, but we do claim creative license in the show, right before every episode. You see, those are some of the best standby.
A cargo van pulled around the corner and slowed behind a cab just starting to pull away from the curb. The van was coming to a stop in front of them. One of Dieter's men stepped up to meet it. Anxiety filled Anya. If they were placed in the van, their chances of escape would lessen. Now would be the best time to escape.
Ow!
Turning, Anya saw the small man she'd noticed earlier in Sherlock's standing with his notebook computer case in both hands. The mercenary standing closest to the man was rubbing his head.
What's going on?
The little idiot struck me with his computer.
Uh-oh.
What do you think you're doing?
The little man closed his eyes and swatted at the man again. This time, his feet shot out from under him on the icy sidewalk and he fell headlong toward the mercenary. Dieter's man grabbed him out of self-preservation.
Whoa!
Taking advantage of the situation, Anya caught Dieter's gun hand, trapped it against his body, and kicked his feet out from under him. He went down face first on the sidewalk. Still bent at the waist, Anya kicked backward, catching the man next to Dieter full in the face. He was dazed by the kick even before he slammed into the side of the van. Anya grabbed Dieter's head with both hands and bounced it off the sidewalk again. If he wasn't out, he was at least too dazed to show any interest in the fight for a moment. She spun toward the third man, feeling her feet slide treacherously out from under her. Catching the man's arm as he freed his pistol, she slipped her thumb between his and the pistol, then grabbed hold of his little finger with her other hand. She bent both. The pistol dropped free. Flailing a hand, she caught the back of the man's foot and yanked. He sat down hard as Anya pushed herself to her knees. Before he could move, she punched him in the temple, and he turned limp at once. Seeing what had happened to his partners, the fourth man tried to free himself from the little man who was hanging onto his gun hand with all his strength. The van door opened behind Anya as she got to her feet. Standing, she lurched toward the vehicle and hit the door with both hands. It knocked into the man's head as he tried to climb out. The man slumped, half in and half out of the vehicle. Anya's breath came out in rapid clouds. Looking back, she saw the little man still maintained a death grip on the remaining mercenary. The mercenary finally backhanded the man and knocked him to the ground. He swung his pistol toward Anya. She caught it by the barrel in her left hand, yanked down, and squeezed hard. The bullet struck the sidewalk and ricocheted into the van's tire, blowing it out and causing the vehicle to sag heavily to one side. Still holding the pistol barrel after preventing it from blowing back to chamber another round, Anya drew her right leg back and delivered a roundhouse kick that knocked the man senseless. The blow almost knocked her from her feet. Holding onto the pistol, Anya reversed it, then worked the action and sent the empty brass spinning through the air. She released the slide and stripped the top round from the magazine, chambering it. Swinging around, she saw that all five men were unconscious or dazed.
Wow! I can't believe that just happened!
Anya pressed the gun barrel into the back of Dieter's neck.
Hands out, like you're making a snow angel.
Dieter complied. Taking the man's pistol from his coat pocket, she looked up at Doug, who stood idly by, watching in stunned fascination.
That was terrific! Why can't we do something like that on monsters? This is like ultimate fighting!
What are you doing? This is the part where you call the police.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Doug reached into his pocket and pulled out his phone.